For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
So as we're getting ready for the biggest Sunday in sports, DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57, has all the Super Bowl action you need. New customers can bet just $5 and get 200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get in on the Super Bowl 57 excitement with DraftKings Happy Hour Super Boosts. Check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day between 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to see what prop bet will be boosted. So we'll be giving our pick next week, but once you get your pick, and once we give out like who we like, and if you want to follow us, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code K100. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get 200 free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code K100. That's K100. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. Sorry, Ohio. Can't do this. And see the show notes for details.
Get your bets in for football on DraftKings. Boom.
So the next one is from John Kamapa, and the subject is F-A-G-G-O-T, and they put it in quotation marks, right? So I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago that the great Muda versus Shinsuke Nakamura happened, and in the post-match interview, Muda referred to Nakamura with homophobic terms. I'm not saying that I want him to be canceled or him to get in any trouble, because to me it seemed like he was just goofing around, busting some beans, etc. My question is, though, where was the IWC outrage? On Raw 30, the women were only in two segments, which in the eyes of the IWC means that WWE thinks that all women should be raped, groped, underpaid, and used and abused. Yet Muda flat out uses the number one homophobic term, and no one seemed to care. What do you guys think about what Muda said? Oh, yeah, Conan, it seems like people have taken your advice about Billy Body. You always say, if you don't like it, don't watch it. Well, we don't like him, so no one watches his interview show. Yuji can hide Billy's name all he wants, but we're not watching. So, okay, well, don't watch. It's funny, like, these people – I guarantee these people watch, too. Because why would you sit there and, like, make a point to say – like they talk about Billy a lot, don't they? And the Muda stuff, it's like who
– If you're following somebody, you're a stan. That's all right. There is to it.
Yeah. What do you think about Muda? I guess he's
the
homophobic.
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Did he actually use that word, or did he say it in Japanese?
I mean, who cares?
Japanese.
Honestly, it doesn't bother me, bro.
Me neither, of course. That's why it didn't bother a lot of people. And this guy's worried, wondering why it didn't bother people. Well, who gives a fuck?
Right. And then he said something which I did not understand, that because the women weren't more on WWE, that
he was surprised that there was not more outrage.
Okay, because he said maybe, something about groped, raped, or some
right.
bullshit.
Here's the thing. He says, on Raw 30, the women were only in two segments, which in the eyes of the IWC means that WWE thinks the women should all be raped, groped, underpaid, and used and abused. I mean, bro, I think this guy was more upset about the stuff than anybody else, sounds like, you know? Next one.
Well, here's
and the Bellas, nothing.
Here's what happened. It was a post-match comment. Muda said, he's good, Shinsuke, good, but maybe he's queer. Muda seems to go even further with his assessment, saying maybe he's, maybe. Bye-bye, Shinsuke, no more. So he did, I guess he said it in English.
Who cares?
Big deal.
Yeah.
Next is from Mr. I Am Tremendous. It's spelled the letter M, and Tremendous. And subject is Plan B. Conan, when you were putting together the podcast, was there a Plan B for a co-host and Mr. Inferno didn't want to be or couldn't be the co-host? Mr. Inferno is the best co-host in wrestling podcasting. Well, second best. No one can touch Joe Feeney or the Raven Effect.
Oh,
nothing.
That's very nice. Thank you. I Am Tremendous.
F, Mary, Kill, Conan's Producers Edition, Alice Radley, MSL, KG. We're not doing that. I don't do F, Mary, Kill with... remember Alice Radley, Conan?
Yeah, of course I do.
Didn't you have an issue with her?
Yep.
All right. So next...
I'd marry MSL.
By the way, I don't consider myself the co-host here, by the way. I think that I'm the host, and Joe and Conan are my co-hosts. Next one's from Yumi Matsumoto. Matsumoto, and the subject is Gunther and Cardio Beasts. Hey, K100, to me, Gunther was most definitely the MVP of the Royal Rumble. But the thing that impressed me the most was his cardio, especially for a big guy. To perform at such a high level while getting chopped, suplex, stomped, remembering spots, and while barely breathing hard. I mean, the guy's a machine. My question is, do you see him as WWE World Champion someday? Also, what type of cardio and even mental training do you wrestlers do to prepare yourselves for long, grueling matches like that? I've seen guys with six-pack abs vomiting after 10 minutes of kickboxing and MMA training. I'm sure you've seen the same in your world of pro wrestling, you know, the in-shape, out-of-shape guys with no wind and mental toughness. Take care of that, some Yumi. I do HIIT training, which is called high-intensity cardio, to prepare for wrestling, which is like, what do you call it? Interval training. Basically go hard for a minute, soft for a minute, hard for a minute. So, you know, that's the best way to train for cardio. But Gunther absolutely could be a world champion someday. His work is excellent. He's got a good character, but he does need to learn to slow down and work the crowd more in the middle of matches. Because he kind of has a good pace, but he could slow down and work the crowd more, you know, do his like poses and stuff, I think so. But that's the only thing I would say about him. Well, do you got any comment on
him? To me, the best wrestling conditioning is wrestling. There's nothing that, to me, that would get you ready for that besides wrestling, like going to the ring, chain wrestle, hit the ropes, simulate a match. But I used to play basketball for like 2 hours and or swim, and that would get me ready. And what was the other question? Oh, about Gunther. Yeah, I thought he was great. Everything from the face-off with Brock Lesnar to everything, he was great. He was the MVP of that match.
Next one's from Josh Doan. But there were a couple other MVPs in the match. I thought Dominic was excellent in the Rumble.
For sure. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Next one's from Josh Doan. The subject is the executives who banned the Briscoes and then banned the tribute show. Do you guys think we'll ever know who were the executives that originally banned the Briscoes from TNT, TBS, and who was the idiot that banned a Jay Briscoe tribute show the day after he passed? It's obvious the Meltzers of the world know who did it, but won't say because it would hurt Tony Khan. These faceless people should be named, just like when the Sheets had no problem mentioning USA Network executives like Bonnie Hammer censoring WWF stuff, or Time Warner executives like Jamie Kellner, or many, many others doing the same thing. It's a reasonable question, like, the story is out there, but who were the people that told them that they can't be on the show? That's a question. I'd like to know, you know, people kind of like know the answer to basically get the validity of the actual story. You know,
it'll come out one day, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully. And if it doesn't come out, then I would question it as a dubious report, you know? Next is from Anthony Hunt. The subject is Dusty Rhodes' question. K100 crew, greetings guys. Hope all is well. The question was asked to Cornette, so I'll pose it to you guys. If Dusty Rhodes won the WWF title, how much would it change wrestling? Do you think they wouldn't have put the belt on Backlund? Just wonder how it would impact the business and series. That's from Anthony Hunt. Dusty never won the WWF title. I don't know. I don't know how Dusty would have gotten over WWF. It was a different, you know, when back then, until he went to Superstar Graham, you know, back then the their champion was kind of like a shooter. You know, Bruno came across a shooter. Backlund was kind of like a shooter. You know, I don't know how Dusty would have gotten over. I mean, Dusty was like an NBA. Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer. What do you think?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a hard. You're right. That's very hard. But he was charismatic. He could talk, and he got that polka dot gimmick over dancing with the black
Sapphire.
I mean, he just had it. You know what I'm saying? It was a shame that they put him in polka dots because, you know, I grew up with Dusty Rhodes, and probably so did you. You know, in Georgia and in Florida, we just kick ass, good old boy. You know, just he was great, bro. He was like, when I was growing up in Miami, like Dusty Rhodes was the man.
Yeah.
And in the late 70s, he popped in there a couple of times. I think he actually wrestled Billy Graham for the title.
Yeah.
You know, but he was never a WWF regular back then, though.
Next is from Great Greatness, and the subject is done. What's up, guys? I just finished watching Rumble 2023, and holy shit, what a great event that was. I have to ask you guys this, though. Your boy Cross has not been booked well at all lately. His match with Mysterio was the best he's had since he joined WWE, but he did a clean job to him. Then the next night at the Rumble, he was just a random guy who went out early. I really like Cross, and personally, he would be the type of guy that would be pushing into a match with someone like Bray Wyatt or Gunther for WrestleMania 39. But based on his booking, do you think it's fair to assume the WWE does not see him as a top guy? Is WWE burying him? By the way, the best part of the Rumble is when The Rock returned to set up his feud with Reigns. Oh, wait, that didn't happen. That was just one of the dozens of BS stories made up by Billy Body. Dump him soon. Well, we know the story of why The Rock is not there. That's because of the Vince McMahon stuff. So I'll say this. I talked to Cross. I guess Rey Mysterio got knocked silly in his match that they had, which is why he wasn't at the Rumble.
Hmm.
So, but nothing that Kevin did. So, like, he didn't get hurt, but by Kevin. I thought the match was fine. And, like, I told, you know, here's the one thing Cross does. He's not wrestling every week. And when he does have a match, they're at least giving him, like, 2-3 weeks worth of interviews to build the things up, you know, which is all you really want. You don't want to wrestle a flat match, just, like, go out there and, like, so he's getting promo time for every match he's doing, which is more than you can say for a lot of the wrestlers there, you know? But he does those well. So I think he's doing fine right now. He's just not figured into their major plans right now. But
he got spotlighted for a couple of minutes in the Rumble. He came in and did a bunch of suplexes, but reason I'm saying that is because I would have liked to have seen him come in and be that guy that threw out 8 to 10 guys, you know. But
who are the 8 to 10 guys you're going to sacrifice?
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't the time or the spot for that. That's all. But right. he had a little bit of shine.
I mean, he didn't do no worse than Brock, Omos. And,
no, you know, no, so exactly. Right.
Yeah, you're right. Fine. I mean, like, you know, yeah. So
I just think that, you know, he had a match. You know, he's got a great look. He can cut a promo. He's got a great act with Scarlett. I think that him and Drew didn't click for whatever reason. And Drew always has clicks with everybody he's with. Then they put him in with Ray, and they're in their, what, third match or second match, and he got beat already. I don't know if they're ending it there, if they're going to continue it, you know, and I'm okay. You know, it was a surprise because I'm tired of every finish having an interference or a distraction, but I don't know what they're going to do with him, but he's just one good feud away from exploding. He has everything it takes.
And you'd have to figure him feuding with Ray is kind of a placeholder right now, because obviously they're going to go to Ray and Dom at Mania, unless they think that's too soon, but I would imagine that's what they're going to do.
Well, I know our listeners sometimes, probably lack confidence in the bedroom. We've all had those nights where we get too nervous, maybe we had too much to drink. But there's nothing worse than not being able to put the stick shift in drive when you need it the most. But have no fear, Rex MD is here, spreading cheer, even when you have a few too many beers.
Perfect.
So Rex MD is FDA approved and the most trusted leader in men's telehealth. They've sponsored this episode to help you always be prepared. Rex MD has made it simple, easy, and cost-effective to help all the men out there last longer and feel more confident in the bedroom. Rex MD makes getting generic and branded Viagra Cialis easy. Everything's online, even the prescription, and they deliver it discreetly to your door. No waiting rooms, no embarrassing trips to the doctor, no insurance, and no co-pays. Take advantage of the best deal they've offered and save up to 90% and only pay $2 per dosage with the exclusive link, rexmd.com/K100. That's rexmd.com/K100 for this limited time deal. So RexMD has made this whole process very simple. There's no need to jump through a bunch of hoops to set up an embarrassing doctor's appointment to get your medication where you're telling them, hey, I'm having problems performing. So with just a few clicks of a button, you can talk to a medical professional, create a personalized plan, and get the products discreetly shipped to your door within 2 days. RexMD doesn't just have ED medication. There's other medications that help sexual health, hair growth, pain relief, and sleeping. They're also here to make sure you save big. Viagra costs around $90 a pill. That's ridiculous. But RexMD has generic Viagra. That's just as effective for as low as $2 a pill. And unlike other brands, RexMD is FDA-approved, clinically tested at a U.S. licensed pharmacy. So you'll be getting FDA-approved ED treatments at a 90% cheaper rate than the doctors. That's 90% cheaper. That's ridiculous savings. It's fast, simple, and cheap. And RexMD has already helped over 300,000 guys gain confidence quickly and conveniently, and they're here to help you.
And let me just say that is accurate. You know, Viagra and Cialis can be very expensive, even with insurance. So you go to RexMD.com/K100, get them for $2 a pill, and I can tell you from personal experience, they work just as well, just the same.
Yeah, next week we'll also be bringing your wife in here for a testimonial, too.
Absolutely.
Act now to take advantage of the best deal yet by heading to RexMD.com/K100. The exclusive deal will save up to 90% off when you only pay $2 per dosage, and starter packs of generic Viagra Cialis are now available to our listeners to get started at RexMD. That's REXMD.com/K100K100. Yes, yeah. To give the gift of pleasure this holiday season with RexMD.
Right. Keep it hard. Boom.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Next is from Daniel Pizinal, and the subject is subpar men's Royal Rumble match. Hi guys, I just watched the Rumble and felt there were many spots wasted on guys who were relevant and added nothing to the spectacle, specifically Omos, Alpha Academy, Street Profits, and Elias. Where was Riddle, Solo, Matt Cardona, seen as Chelsea was in the women's match? Booker was the only surprise entrant, he got a huge pop too.
Yeah.
Surely another Texan could have appeared, maybe JBL to do a spot helping Corbin. Where were the surprise NXT representatives? And no, New Day shouldn't count as NXT talent when Braun, Von Wagner, or Joe Gacy could have been featured. Also, Dex Loomis could have been given a shot, made a creepy entrance to the crowd from beneath the ring. This match is clearly the most boring and lackluster men's Rumble. Not a great first impression if this was solely Triple H's responsibility. Thoughts? It was just strictly, this was just designed because I don't think it looked like The Rock is going to be performing at WrestleMania this year, and they had to give Cody the spot, which is what I heard. He was just cleared the day of the show. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Next is from Victor Broughton, and the subject is Karrion Kross. First, thanks for the great podcast. Good stuff. Conan sending you all the good vibes and good karma I got. Now my question, I beg you, Disco, can you call Karrion Kross and tell him to call Manscaped to get an electric razor so he can shave his damn head? He looks less menacing. He looks like he drinks double Red Bull and vodkas every Tuesday night at Hooters. Thanks, and that's from Leader, the Shart Foundation, Vigo 8, whoever that means.
Okay.
Honestly, I think he should cut his hair too. I don't know why he's let his hair grow. He does look better with the shaved head.
Bro, I've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah. Next is from Sunganda Chanko.
I think he's going to let it out, by the way.
Yeah. Next is from Sunganda Chanko, and the subject is becoming a top guy. Good day, K100 crew. This question is mainly for Conan, but I'd like to hear Disco's take as well. I've been watching NXT, and I'm extremely impressed with Braun Breaker. I think he's the guy to replace Roman as the face of WWE. But you also have Theory, who's a great heel, jacked, good-looking, and can work. MJF is a great talker, but he's working on his body and is very good in the ring too, and he may end up in WWE as well. Why don't you guys think the differentiates a main event guy from the top guy just beyond their ability? Is it their leadership, marketability with casual fans, doing talk shows, etc., politicking in the back? I think all three guys are great, but the company can only hitch a wagon to one guy, so I wonder what intangible qualities would separate them. It's being able to go on interviews outside of the wrestling bubble and go on shows and talk about other things besides professional wrestling, which is what, you know, these guys do when they go on, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, Roman was on the other day. And so, you know, you got to be able to go outside the box and be interesting on those shows to be the top guy. What do you think?
I don't know. I just think that you don't have to be one top guy. Maybe if you're referring to who's the world champion, that's one thing. But like in AAA, to me, we have various top guys, and the way that I that I qualify that is if they're draws, you know? And so, like, we have guys that are draws, and those, to me, are top guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you don't only need one. That's just all I would say about that.
Next is from Jonathan Wood. The subject is Heat Seekers. Hello again, everyone. While watching SmackDown and seeing Lacey Evans get major heat by going to high-five a kid with Down syndrome and then pulling away, then seeing all the other loser orcs online complain about it, it made me wonder who was the biggest heat seeker, drew the most heat that y'all have personally worked with or have seen before. Personally, I remember Sergeant Slaughter and he turned Iraqi sympathizer getting nuclear heat to the point that my friend's mother didn't allow us to watch a 91 Rumble. After he won the belt from Warrior, she kicked everyone out of the house because she was so disgusted. That, to me, is good heat. Thanks again for the podcast. And please continue to use the regularly correct Billy Body, who is the most accurate news and sports picks going. Also, to defend him, Sasha crap is completely fraudulent. Ticketmaster has limited first-run tickets, but you can find tickets to New Japan plentifully on third-party resellers. I'm attaching a link here to show that it's not sold out. Interesting.
Well, I mean, that's a ticket reseller. That's like saying WrestleMania.
Well,
WrestleMania is sold out, but then people resell their tickets on Hubhub or whatever.
Yeah. But that's the issue with calling a thing a sellout.
Well, always.
Okay, if tickets are available to be bought by secondary sellers, the people aren't sitting in the chairs yet. You have to sell seats.
Yeah.
Right? So if the seats are not all sold, that's not a sellout. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't have people buying tickets to go sit in the seats yet.
We are having them buy them to resell them.
Right, exactly. Right. So I would say he's correct on that. So, but Billy is credible. People want to pick a story if he's wrong about one thing and make it sound like, bro, all these guys are wrong about things. That's right. The wrestling content. First of all, a lot of these guys are double sourcing stories. They're just basically giving you rumors. But Billy's been very credible. I'm like, bro, he said that Brock West, when they were talking about Brock and Walter, he said that he was going to cost Bobby Lashley the U.S. title. I go with him, and that was accurate. So I was like, he's been an outlier. A lot of this stuff has been absolutely correct. He was the only guy that was saying publicly that was on record as saying Vince is going to wrestle at WrestleMania. And then he wrestled against Pat McAfee. So like, nobody else is supporting that. So I was like, you know, so I'm just saying I'm not a fan of wrestling content like all these people, like, you know, that, all the stories, if you like to read all the stuff and everything and see it, I'm not a fan of that, but if there's a big story, fine. I want to hear it. What do you got any comment, Conan, about, oh, by the way, heat. Let me give you heat. To me, like let me see. Sergeant Slaughter was excellent heat. Yeah, that was, what's the most heat you've seen, Conan? You were in Florida when Kevin Sullivan was doing the Satan worship stuff, right? What type of heat was that?
Yeah, but I wasn't going to the shows.
Right.
There was really good heat. Like, there was this guy called Pac Song when he went against Dusty Rhodes. That was incredible heat. Abdullah the Butcher, when he went to Miami, had incredible heat. Jake the Snake, when he did his feud with me in Mexico, was ridiculous heat, dude.
Right.
I bet you in Puerto Rico.
That was ridiculous heat.
I got good heat at the Impact.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe, was that the
when
that
really, the, so when you went out to girls
at the ECW arena? How would you were a big ECW fan?
Yeah.
How would you rate the heat that I had in that arena to people of the past?
Top 10 I've ever seen in that building.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
People were not happy with you, not at all.
that's for all the people that are online that follow Fightful and stuff and thing like they all showed up to yell at me. So.
Oh yeah.
Conan, I have a question for you.
What it do, boom.
Have you been taking your Athletic Greens?
You know it. Love it.
Yeah. Well,
you recommended that to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Athletic Greens AG1, I take every day.
He was taking it before they came on board for us to promote them. But go ahead.
Because the thing, you know, I want better gut health, you know, for my digestion because I'm on a weird diet, like the keto diet. I don't sometimes get enough carbs as I need. So right. I like it for the gut health and gives you sustained energy, you know, immune support. And I hated taking I had 9 bottles of vitamins.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, constantly having to screw the vitamins on and taking like 9 vitamins at a time or like, you know, 2 times during the day. But you know, with AG1, it's great. You just mix it with water or, you know, you can put in juice too.
Right.
I like to take it because I do intermittent fasting. I like to take it after my workout. So I'll go drink my AG1 and I'll maybe take a protein shake or go eat my meal. And the thing about it, it's great for recovery. You know, it empowers the whole, you know, the gut for the whole body. If your gut is in good shape and good health, that affects your whole body, you know, your alertness, you know, everything. And right. athletes love this stuff, and it's so much more than just a powder. It's literally all of your key health products in one, you know, and it's got 75 high-quality ingredients, and so you get the daily nutrients that you need, and it's a micro-habit that delivers macro benefits, and it helps almost everybody take care of their health every single day. Right. So if you want, you know, I swear by this stuff, right? Because it's so much simplicity, and it works, right? And it also just costs less than $3 a day. That's a really good price if you ask me. And if a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's Athletic Greens, athleticgreens.com/KONAN. And check it out. Less than $3 a day and a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs.
Bro, here's the best part of it, too. We all need, like, we all know that we need vitamins and this thing is rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals. But we also know we need fresh fruits and vegetables. A lot of time it's hard, you know, you got to cut them and you got to go to the store and buy them and hope that they don't go bad. Bro, you save all of that by taking this. This is excellent. We highly recommend it. Disco, as I stated, and Joe was using it before they came on board. You know, we all use it. We all swear by it. And it saves you time. It saves you money. You don't got to, like as Disco said before, you don't got to take a bunch of pills. This has everything you need to keep you in shape. Because really, that's the MO of our show, wellness. Keeping you in shape. Get all your minerals and vitamins at Athletic Greens. Boom.
Next is from John Roddy, and the subject is Buff. The legendary Buff Bagwell was a guest on Eric Bischoff's 83 weeks last week, and he sounded fantastic. It seems to have finally kicked all his addiction issues, and as a longtime wrestling fan, it was awesome to hear him sound so clear-headed. The reason why I'm writing this is that during the interview, Buff said his main goal is to get back into the wrestling ring, and that's aiming for a Royal Rumble and a WrestleMania appearance. Now, never deny wrestlers' chance to make money from the wrestling business, but is this really a wise move by Buff? He just got kicked a long-time booze and drug habit that was enhanced by injuries that he got during his wrestling career. Why risk, especially at his age, getting hurt all over again? P.S. Why is Billy interviewing Rey Mysterio? I'm not watching that shit. It should be Conan and Disco interviewing Rey Mysterio, not some asshole that we all hate. John Roddy, it's his kid, Austin, asking Rey Mysterio questions, which is a news, which is actually very entertaining if you would go check it out. Because Austin knows more about wrestling than 95% of the fans.
Well, here's the thing that I've always said. Billy's gotten so many people pissed off by the way he interacts with them online, and we've told him about it, and he doesn't want to change. That's on him. But that it's like anything else. When you don't like somebody, no matter, they can never do no right. And when you like somebody, they can never do no wrong. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah. Next is from John P.
Well, I'm sorry, but the Buff thing, what do you think about him? Yeah, trying to come back for a Rumble or something.
I would not doubt if he's in next year's Rumble. If he gets back in shape and stuff, because Paige has a good relationship with those guys and stuff and everything. So he'd vouch for him and maybe get him back in there, you know?
That would be cool.
They could do that. I wouldn't doubt that. Next is from John Paz. Is this John Paz? That's P. Pazarowski?
The John Paz.
Okay. Subject, NJPW Battle in the Valley sellout. Hey, Conan, D.I. and Feeney, what does Billy have against Sasha Banks, a.k.a. Mercedes Moné? He said the show wasn't sold out. Looks like New Japan the Valley is a sold out. He said she's not hot. Was he smoking a rain tobacco? She's definitely hot. Basically, so the tickets are all sold. The tickets are all sold out for – we just discussed this.
Yeah.
The tickets are sold out, but secondary sellers have it. It's like they haven't sold the seats yet. So that it's just your take of what a sellout is and what isn't. If all the secondary tickets are sold to people and then the secondary ticket sales are not – bro, if you could go find tickets for this, it's not sold out. If you go on secondary to ticket sales, it's there, and technically speaking – that okay, the secondary markets have bought the tickets, now they're selling them.
Right.
So you can say it's a sellout if they bought all the tickets that we're gonna sell them. It's like okay, but that's fine, but until they sell all those tickets, it's not a sellout.
Yeah, it's like yet. What happened, right. Joe. Remember when we did that talk in Las Vegas mm-hmm. that you were not prepared for? That one.
And, that one.
And all those people bought tickets, but some of them didn't show up.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they were stuck in other shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if that's the case, then it would be like saying, you know, WrestleMania didn't sell out because
the person just the person bought the tickets
as long as it's bought.
But if I buy 40 tickets and I want to sell them to people and I can only sell back 20 of them, there's going to be 20 empty seats and I'm stuck with the tickets are bought, but the seats are going to be empty. So that's the only way you're going to know what this show is a sellout is on the day of the show. Look at the crowd and see if all the seats are filled. That's how you'll know. So that's common sense.
I love that this is like the sixth email on that New Japan sellout.
Well, that's because no. You know why? Because we put it up on a YouTube clip. That's why. So people are probably commenting because a lot of people don't. A lot of people just listen to the YouTube clips of our show. They don't listen to the show. We want you. We'd invite you to listen to the show. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot more stuff, and that's only sound bites and different clips. So, this is an interesting one. Tommy Herman, some of his power slap. What up, DI and Co? Greetings from Tel Aviv town. Interesting. What's your opinion on Dana White's power slap league? Do you think this is something that could become mainstream? In a way, it's like the Japanese fighting spirit spot over and over again. How would a slap duel between DI and Joe end? Keep up the good work in this T-Bone McFlanagan. Boom. I think power slap's atrocious, dude. It's horrible. These guys are getting concussed and stuff. It's stupid. What do you think of that show? I think it's ridiculous.
I think it's funny when they slap the guy and he gets knocked out. That's funny to me.
You think that's funny? Yeah. I think that's kind of horrible.
Yeah. And but it's not something – I don't know. I might look at it just out of curiosity and the morbidness of it.
Right.
But it's not something that I think I would be following.
What do you think about Dana's defense of it, though, where he would say, like, hey, these guys are only getting hit maybe once or three or four times, and boxers are getting hit 100 times, hundreds of times.
That's not a good defense. Yeah.
No, it's not.
That's what he's going with.
Yeah.
Bro, these guys are 300 pounds, and they're fucking smacking you upside the head.
Yeah.
Fuck that. And guys are getting knocked out. I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. I never liked it before when it was, you know, you'd see videos come over from Europe or whatever. I'm like, let's, you know, I mean, it's entertaining the first few times, but. And you go, okay, that's what else is there?
Next is from Ryan Damone, and the subject is MJF Blue Eyes comment. What the F? Does MJF get away with things because he pulls a Jewish card and the media is mostly Jewish? That's stating, not hating. Jesus Christ. His latest promo on Daniel Bryan having blue eyes was so unacceptable that as a practicing Jew, I was offended. Comparing anyone to Hitler is messed up, and that's from Ryan. Well, that's what MJF does, Ryan. He offends people. So, you know. If you're offended, then he did his job, I guess. Conan, what do you think about it?
I don't know what he's talking about, but... Yeah, so I can't really.
He made a comment about Blue Eyes, basically saying that Daniel Bryan was kind of like a Nazi and looking at him as like a Jew.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right, next is from Steve Coase. This is an interesting question. Is Joe a serial killer? Hello, K100. Hope all is good. After listening to the Raven Effect this week, I have serious concerns that Joe is really a serial killer. True crime was brought up and turned into how they would kill somebody. Joe seems to target females. He became angry with the thought of killing a man. Conan and Disco, do you believe that Joe is a serial killer targeting women? Conan, I'm interested in one of these signed action figures. Let me know how I can purchase one. Best wishes on your new search for a new kidney, Conan. Lastly, woman of the Philadelphia area, beware, LMAO. Thanks, guys. Steve Coase. Joe, would you target women if you were a serial killer?
I was joking on the show. We were talking about how to get away with murder, and Raven kept saying, well, that would work on a man, too. And I would say, no men, just women. Only women could be killed. So I was
fucking
around.
Is that Joe really wishes he was a woman? That's why.
That could be it. But, No, I read a lot about true crime and stuff. Just because I read a lot doesn't mean I'm a serial killer.
Well, I don't know about that.
Doesn't mean I'm not.
Conan.
What'd it do?
End the old year with a new you, and Close It'll give you the confidence to tackle those 2023 resolutions. Thanks to our new sponsor, True Classic. You'll have everything you need to hit the gym, take it slow, or treat yourself to something nice. Let's get snatched in 2023, and daddies, I'm talking to you. True Classic has already helped over 2 million men look great in their tees, and now you can save big while you do so. For a limited time only, get 25% off with the code K100 at TrueClassic.com. True Classic will make you feel your best by accentuating the places that the eyes go to first, which is your body. And have you thought about upgrading your shirts? Almost all men's t-shirts are designed to look good to certain body types. That's why True Classic's team designed t-shirts to make the fellas of all sizes out there feel confident in their clothing. These tees taper off towards the bottom, but they fit tighter around the chest and shoulders. There's a desirable look that can be achieved by every single body type. They give you the wide shoulder and tapered bottom look that we're all looking for, and the quality of the t-shirts are elite. From going to the gym to your first date, there's no better look than a fresh tee. I wear t-shirts all the time. And True Classic offers other menswear as well. The True Classic Activewear line makes physical features more flattering, and their fabrics are engineered for high-intensity workouts. I'd pair an active shirt with their fleece or quick-dry shorts or a pair of their comfy joggers. They also just released new button-downs and chinos, which are perfect for a nice night out. And you can never go wrong with their classic comfort collection of ultra-soft tees, briefs, hoodies, and much more, and you know me, I'm a big hoodie guy. They have a pack builder on their site where you can customize the bundle you want and save even more. And for my big fellas out there, they have long options for the tall guys and up to triple XL. Now, True Classic also has a 100% risk-free guarantee with a 30-day return policy. That's great for you. The response to these tees are overwhelmingly positive, with over 200,000 five-star reviews. It's no wonder these t-shirts are quickly becoming men's go-to. So, dad bods, we got you covered. Rip bods, you know it. Your average Joe, that's you. Yes, sir. Get 25% off at TrueClassic.com with the code K100. That's 25% off with the code K100 plus free shipping on purchases over $100. New year, new me, and new tees thanks to True Classic at TrueClassic.com.
Bro, these are great. They're comfortable. You know, and like he said, they come in so many different styles. The one that I got, they have polos, they have V-necks, they have long sleeves. They got, you know what a Henley shirt is, D.I.?
Oh, Henley shirt?
Yeah.
No.
Those are the ones that have no collar, and they're kind of round, and they have buttons right here. And they have different colors, very, very comfortable. And, you know, it does a real good job of accentuating your upper body. They're very, very comfortable. You know, and I highly recommend it. So, you know, get your attire on at True Classic Tees. Boom.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Next one's from, we only got about 6-7 left here. I'm making good time today. Next one's from Lewis Rice. Subject is wrestling influences. Conan Disco. Who are some of your favorite wrestlers before you got in the business and why? You can answer first, Conan.
Before I got into the business, I liked, well, there's some guys you've probably never heard of, but I used to like from the LA area, from the Olympic Auditorium, you know, Black Gordman and Goliath,
right?
John Tolis, right. Freddie Blassie, Dusty Rhodes, The Sheik, Superstar Billy Graham, the Briscoes, the Funks. Those are like some of the guys before I got into the business that I liked.
I got mine are Piper, Flair, Dusty, Macho,
Piper,
Honky Tonk.
Sure.
Yeah, Honky Tonk Man. I liked all the flamboyant characters. So
yeah,
Piper for sure. Piper was probably my number one favorite. Yeah, I think Piper was my number one favorite because, bro, if you can go back and you see the amount of time that wrestlers have to put in to get themselves over, like in promos and stuff, everything, bro. Piper's pit was 2 minutes every week. That's it.
Right.
And Piper got the most out of, like, Piper never filled his airtime. He filled it better than any character in the history of professional wrestling. Now, if he had a promo, it was always great. It's just like, you know, he's just a fan. You know, in a Piper's pit, it was always great. The guy was just incredible. Next is from John Santos in the 70s, Conan Disco in the WWE. Hey, my guys, I hope all is well. Conan, I wish you nothing but great health. Happy to hear you're doing a lot better. I was born in 95, so growing up, I never watched Conan and D.I. and WCW. Only watched old footage. In my opinion, it's a shame Conan and Disco never made it to the WWE after Vince bought WCW. I can only imagine what could have been. My questions are for Conan and Disco. Who in the WWE at the time would y'all have loved to work with? And any storylines y'all envisioned when WCW got bought? I can only imagine the bangers that Conan could have had with guys like Eddie, The Rock, Austin, and Disco managing Chuck and Billy. Also, Disco, is it true the back of the day after Conan and Juventud would have great matches, they'd be in the back drinking Joe, Jose Cuervo, and dancing bachata? What's bachata?
That's it. It's music from the Dominican Republic.
Should I suspend this guy for trying to be funny?
Yes.
Yeah, you're suspended for a week, John Santos.
That's John Santos.
Yeah. I'd love to work with Kurt Angle someday. Is what I would have. Who I would have loved to work with, because I worked with Eddie and The Rock, of course. You know, Rock Austin and Kurt Angle are like three guys I would have loved to work with, but I never got to. But I worked with Eddie, worked with Flair. You know. worked with Randy Savage. I've been worked with a lot of other greats. So what about you, Conan?
There's nobody in particular. I would always, whoever I worked with, I just try to do the best I could as far as promos and coming up with hot spots during the match.
When did we start? When did you start doing the spot in the match where you take your shoe off and throw it at me? Was that with me, or did you do that with somebody else first?
I don't know where I started that, but
I think it might have been with me. That was a funny spot.
Yeah,
Conan would shoe me in the turnbuckle and take his shoe off and throw it at me.
Right, which would get a big pop.
It would always get a pop. Next is from Ashdav89, and the subject is Misfits in WCW. Thanks for taking my question. Enjoy hearing stories from WCW days. In 1999, the band Misfits were in WCW for a few months. Did Disco and Conan have any angles or interactions with them? How were they to deal with, and were they actually fans of wrestling? The only one I really knew was Jerry Only, which I thought was a funny name, because me and Stevie Ray always used to laugh at that name, Jerry Only. He was cool. They were like nice guys, definitely out of place. You know, they weren't really like tough guys. And they put Jerry Only out there to work, and he'd get the shit beat out of him, and he'd come back and be all happy and thank you and stuff. Like, they were cool, but they were just kind of like did their own thing, you know? But what'd you think, Conan, about the Misfits?
Yeah, that wasn't my type of music or my type of scene, so I really didn't hang out with them, but they were very polite and professional.
Very polite and professional. Everybody's been through the ICP, very polite and professional backstage when they came back to, you know, work with the stuff. Next is from Dale Fortunio, and the subject is Dusty's later years. What's going on, gang? Did we ever have one of the ICP guys on the show? We had an ICP guy on the show once, right?
You guys had him on way back early on
with
when
Gil, right?
KG was on, yeah.
Right. What's going on, gang? And I've started investing more time into watching some historic footage of Dusty in the 80s. After talking with John Arezzi and the impact Dusty had in the business, I wanted to learn a little more about how times were back then. Something that all wrestling fans should do, but that's another story. My question is, what things in the business do you see on both AEW and WWE that Dusty had his influence on, aside from his children? I'm sure being with him in a creative atmosphere is an incredible experience in so many ways at WCW. Bonus question. What was your media reaction hearing about Blacktop Bully and Dusty Rhodes having a match in a moving truck? I don't remember that, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a tractor trailer. They fought and the tractor trailer was driving and they wrestled in the back. That was something. But Dusty's you guys obviously have answers, but Dusty's influence on AEW and WWE, they both use fucking war games, and that was Dusty's invention. Everybody loves goddamn war games. So,
right. What did you think, Conan?
I don't know. The Dusty finish was another one of his inventions. I don't know what else his influence is. Just, you know, he's one of the most – he was like my idol when I was a kid and one of the most greatest talkers in the history of the sport and entertainers. Yeah.
Right. Like, he's in the conversation for the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. Next is from Peter Bahi, and the subject is Dirt Sheets Exposed. Hi, Disco and Conan. First off, I wanted to thank you both for making my childhood awesome. Thank you for making my current life awesome. The question I have is about the appeal of the Dirt Sheet Riders. Disco and Conan, this question is for both of you since you're both pro wrestlers. What appeal is there about Dirt Sheet Riders that pro wrestlers find the need to share private information with? This is like Adam Scheffler or Woj collecting information from general managers. This is about a young ego maniac like Sean Ross Sapp who brag about receiving such private information and make you feel like you are less than on social media every chance they get. Don't wrestlers see the ego in this guy? Do wrestlers get paid to share this information? I don't get it. Thanks and keep up the amazing work, Peter Bye. That is true. Sean Ross Sapp like makes a point to say, I talked to a WWE top guy. That's like what he said. You know, it's like, come on. And I'm trying to be relevant, right? So, I don't know. The fans like, it's just like any other news. If people want news and gossip, these guys deliver it. That's why I don't really take in a lot of consideration a lot of what they say. They deliver gossip and they try to make it sound like they're more experts just because they got a lot of gossip. And I would wholeheartedly disagree with that, you know.
Plus, I'd imagine guys would contact Dirt Sheet guys because they want their perspective shared a little bit more. Maybe they want to hurt someone else that's they don't like backstage, shit like that, you know, share dirt.
Right. All right, next one's from Dave Johnson. The subject is People Stop Crying. Hey, K100 crew, I guess I'm in the minority, but I actually like the Billy Body segments. Every Dirt Sheet guy is sometimes wrong. Who cares? Disco, please stop cutting Billy off about things that you don't care about. It is a wrestling podcast. Most people are not listening for your opinion on soccer in Europe. Stick to wrestling because you guys are the – and he puts his blank there. Dave, I'm gonna suspend you, even though I like you. You put over Billy here, but you buried me. So you're going to get a suspension for
one. And he didn't complete his thoughts either.
He didn't complete your thoughts. He left an incomplete sentence there at the end. Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I do cut Billy. Billy, I don't know if you listen to every Billy segment. We've told Billy this in the past, but sometimes he does get long-winded. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Yep.
Yeah. So sometimes I do cut him off because, like, here's if you hear me cutting Billy off in a segment, bro, you guys got to understand, when we usually record either Monday or Tuesday or both.
Mm-hmm.
We record Wednesday and we record Thursday. And Thursday's the last day we record.
And sometimes
so
Friday.
Thursday, we kind of want to get things done. We don't want to do another, like, you know, so sometimes if you – our Thursday is usually the AEW review and our conversation with Billy and our outro, right?
And we don't have the same energy as we have at the beginning
exactly.
of the week.
Right. So sometimes I do get, like, you know, if Billy's on, he's got a long story, I'll cut him off. Just, you know, we've been recording a lot. He hasn't, you know, so that's you got to understand. So.
And even though the main show that you hear can be 2 hours to 2.5, we've had some big 3 hour ones recently. We record eight to 10 hours, man. If we do five days, we've done sometimes, you know, so.
Yeah. Next is from IB Exclusive, and the subject is too much travel. This made me laugh. Was this all supposed to be a weird type of flex to the marks that these guys get to go to the shows for free? This goes first quote tweet of Sean Ross. Oh, so I tweeted this. So I picked on Sapp. I thought this was funny. He tweeted, I don't know how wrestlers do it. I've traveled for 1 week to what you call it. What was the quote, Joe?
I'm cooked.
So I just quoted his tweet and put a quote, I don't know how wrestlers do it, unquote, is among the many things you don't know about this business. I haven't tweeted this guy in forever. He thinks I'm trying to clout chase. I just thought that was a funny tweet that he made, right?
Right.
So I guess a second tweet, oh, I don't know how wrestlers do it. When we travel, I'm cooked. That was his tweet, yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, but I can't see because he blocks me, so I can't. This guy's tweeting this stuff. I can't read this.
So what he's saying is underneath there's a guy that responded that's a news anchor for Cincinnati. He's a Bengals contributor for Sirius and a contributor to Wrestling Dirt Sheet sites. And his profile picture is him with his arm around Becky Lynch. And he tweeted, I feel like I get sick after every single trip. I've been in bed all day. And Sean responded, ugh, I'm sorry. And he goes, and Chad,
the guy says, what is going on? Yeah, can these kids handle this kind of access? Your pal Chad, bro, I don't know. I think it's funny. You know, these guys are like, a lot of these dirt sheet guys are just very sensitive. And I don't know. I mean, basically, if you spend your life in your mom's basement, you know, when you get out, it's kind of taxing on you, I guess. I don't know.
Bright out there.
But that's been our mailbag.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.